Welcome to the Don't You Worry podcast. We're your hosts, Briley and Britton Caldwell, and we're here to say don't you worry through stories, encouragement, and joy. Be sure to like and subscribe so you don't miss an episode. So sit back, relax, and enjoy today's conversation.
What's up, everybody? We are back with the Don't You Worry podcast. It's your favorite host, Briley and Britton, and we've got another great guest for you today. She's coming back, and we are so excited to interview her.
Yes, we had her on the podcast probably about a year ago, Kate Downing. We are so excited to talk to you today.
Yay. Thanks, guys. I'm so excited to be here to hang out with you guys again. This is so fun.
Yes, it is fun. Have you had a good summer and a good year?
Yeah, it has been, it's been a wild ride. Summer is always the busiest time of year for like student ministry. So I work full time as a student minister and it's always like our busy season. But it's also the most fun season. I start getting really sad when like back to school commercials start coming out. I'm like, no, don't take the summer away from us.
Yeah.
So it's been great. It's been really cool.
Yeah. That's how we've been the last few weeks. We're like excited to start a new year, but also, summer's already over.
I know. It really is. It always feels like so sad. I'm like, it's been so long since I've been in school, but I still feel the same as I did when, when I was like in school and was so sad for it to start again.
Yeah. And you got to go to summer camp this summer and you like, you kind of lead that, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So part of kind of my job is to help plan and lead our student camp. And so we take like several hundred, basically 900 teenagers to a camp in Missouri. And it's the most fun week. It is such a fun, exciting time. And really the coolest part is just getting to watch God work in students' lives. So
that's
really
awesome.
Fun.
Yes. For the people listening that don't know, Kate works with our uncle and they came to, they came to visit us. And he gave us the hardest camp launch all week we were with him. He was like, you're coming next year. He was like, he's sending me videos. Like we're in the same room and he's sending us both videos. I'm like, okay, I got it. We'll have to come next year.
That is awesome. Let me just say, I know that I don't hold as much weight as your own uncle, but just as a friend, I would love for you guys to come, come hang out with us.
We would much rather come hang out with you than him. So you saying that is convincing us.
Thank you. Thank you. I'll make sure to tell him.
Yes, yes, for sure.
Definitely.
So we are so excited to talk to you today because last time we talked to you, you were getting ready to release a Bible study. And we actually have them with us.
So honored.
We are so excited because both of us got these.
Yes.
And I'm going through it with a couple of friends. I'm about to start it. And
I'm
going to
go through it with one of my friends.
Yes. The friend. So we're so pumped for it. But we wanted to say, we were looking through it and we saw that you have a bunch of snack recipes with each little study. So what's your favorite snack that you would make going along with a Bible study?
That is a great question. So I really did put into those like the real snack recipes that I would make when I would host, you know, Bible studies with teenagers. And I would say the one that I go back to faithfully is the very first one. So it's popcorn and marshmallows. Like it's the cheapest and easiest.
That
you pop
so
popcorn,
good.
You melt marshmallows in it. But my college roommate taught me how to make it. So it, it feels very nostalgic to me.
Yes.
It's a easy, quick, salty, sweet, delicious.
That sounds so good. Yeah.
I will be making that.
That's the perfect mix. So if you want to tell us a little bit about your study, I know we already know some about it, but for the people that didn't listen to our one last time, tell us like what the heart of the study is.
Yeah, absolutely. So I'd love to. So the whole kind of study is a study through the first six chapters of the book of Nehemiah, which is in the Old Testament. So if you're not super familiar with it, Nehemiah was a guy who was a Jew who was living in captivity in Babylon, and God brought him back to the city of Jerusalem to help rebuild the walls around it. Which feels like a really strange role, but it was actually a really important role. And it's so cool to get to study through his story because you get to see God move and work in ways that he is moving and working in our life today, which is so cool. There's so many parallels between how God worked in Nehemiah's life and how he works in our lives. So even if you've never built a wall before, or you don't know where Babylon is, it is still applicable. But the whole idea behind the book is really looking at some different fears that we face. And so we look at it through the lens of Nehemiah, but different fears like hopelessness and loneliness and the fear of the unknown and the fear of people pleasing and lots of different fears that we get to look at. And we get to see how we can overcome those fears through something that we call the fear of God. And it's such a cool opportunity to get to not only study the Bible, which I love because it's God's word, that's the most important thing we could do, but we get to study it through the lens of somebody who we can relate to on a lot of levels. And I love the study because it has some fun, not only snack recipes, which I love because I love a snack, but also we get to journal your way through it. And I love to journal. It's one of the ways that I like process my thoughts and feelings and emotions and all. And so it's a really fun, very interactive kind of study on how to journal as well.
Yes, I love that. So cool. Was there one like specific moment or like a specific fear that you dealt with that made you like want to write a study on this? Or was there like anything that you dealt with? Like what made you come up with this idea of like wanting to write a study about this?
Yeah.
So I would say that I have always, I mean, ever since I was a little girl, I've always battled anxiety. And that's something that so many people, I know you guys have shared your journey with that. And so many other girls that I talk to, and really people, battle with anxiety. And so that's always kind of been a big part of my story and how God is redeeming that and restoring that in me. And a lot of what I began to realize is my anxiety was based in a lot of things that I was being fearful over. And I'm not a very fearful person. Like, I don't get scared of many things, but there are still a lot of things that I recognized I was fearful of. And so as I was learning kind of this idea of how to handle fear in my life, I had this like mindset that I was going to become fearless, you know, and like just never fear anything again. But as I was studying about that in the Bible, I kept running across these times where God would say, or in God's word, that it would literally command us to fear God. And I was like, well, that doesn't feel very good. I want to love God. I want to spend time with God. I don't really want to fear God. So what does that mean? So it kind of sent me down this train of trying to figure out, well, what is the fear of God? What does it mean to really fear him? Not to be scared of him, not to like be terrified of him, but to honor and delight in and obey him. And so begin to shift my thinking away from this idea of like, well, I'll figure out somehow how to be fearless. Like I won't be fearful of people's opinions about me, or I'll figure out a way to like not fear the unknown. If I could have figured that out, or anybody could have figured that out, we would have done that a long time ago. So it's not just this idea of like, well, I'll just get really good at not being fearful. It's shifting your attention and affection off of the object of your fear and putting that attention and affection onto the object you were created to fear, which is God, to honor him, to delight in him, to find joy and peace in him. And that's the way that we overcome all these other fears in our life. So it was kind of this, like, honestly, this lifelong journey that I've been on that has kind of led me to this, but it was not something I necessarily even knew. I didn't even know like the ending when I started it, if that makes sense. Because again, I was like, we're going to talk about how to become fearless. And I was like, oh, wait, no, we're designed to be fearful and to be controlled by fear, but the fear of God, not the fear of man or loneliness or fill in the blank of what all the other things we fear so often.
That's so good.
I love it because it's such a natural instinct for us in our human like nature to fear, but then you just take that and you redirect it to be something great.
That we were literally created. And you're so right. It is a natural instinct in us because we were designed to be controlled by whatever we set our mind's attention and our heart's affection on. That thing or that person controls us. If that's our best friend's opinion, if that's the cute boy in, you know, second period's opinion, if that is what college we want to go to or what sports team we want to be a part of, we're controlled. Our words change, the way we dress changes, the way we act changes, the way we spend our time changes, all because of the person or the thing that we are fearing or we're spending our attention and affection on. We were designed to spend our attention and affection on God, on our creator. And when we do that, we experience the freedom that God designed us for. So you're so right. It is definitely a natural reaction, which is so cool to think about.
Absolutely. So what would you say we should expect to get out of this study as we're going through it?
Cool. Okay. So one of our main kind of goals in this is to have students or girls or really whoever wants to read it.
Yeah.
Have you learn some of the characteristics of God mm-hmm. that kind of combat those fears. And so really what that is, again, like we've said, is shifting your attention off of the fear, the object of your fear, and onto a characteristic of God. And so really learning more about who God is, about his character, and then that process of shifting your attention and affection from one thing or person onto the Lord. And we talked a little bit about this in the last podcast too, but there's kind of a technique that every week you get to practice called the RCR. So it's the recognize, confess, and replace. So one of the goals I would say, or my prayers, is that as girls read through this, they would begin to recognize their thoughts, that they would learn to confess any thought that is not from the Lord, any fear that is not from him, back to the Lord, and then to replace it with something that is true, a fact about God's character or who he's created us to be. And that would become not just a thing that you do as you go through the study week to week, but it would become a natural thought process in your own, in your own brain as you're, you know, walking to class, as you're doing homework, as you're whatever, you'd be thinking, does this thought help me honor the Lord? Does this thought hold me captive in fear? Or is this thought about the goodness and character of my God?
I love that. Yeah.
Okay. So when you're doing a Bible study, because a lot of girls, I know this is a real study that people go through, but a lot of people just want to start a Bible study and do different things.
Yeah.
So when people say that, do you think our goal should be like to get closer to each other through the study, or should it be like focusing on knowing God better or knowing like the content of the study? What should be, I guess, the goal of each study that people choose to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, I think it depends a little bit on, well, let me say this. I think anytime you want to do a Bible study with friends, I love that. I think that's a beautiful thing to do with your time. I would also encourage you that you would be spending time alone with the Lord, that wouldn't be the only time that you're spending with God. I do think God has created us to spend time with him in community. I don't think it always is just us and God. That would be so sad. That's really isolating.
Yeah.
He's designed us to be in community. So I think both of those pieces are important, that I'm spending time with just me and God, and then I'm spending time in community with other people. What I love to think about when I'm spending time with God by myself or with other people is I always love to filter it through. I want to make sure that I'm spending more time reading and studying and meditating. So that idea of like letting thoughts roll around in our brain, meditating on God's word more than people's words. So even in the Bible study that I just wrote, my hope is that you would spend more time reading and talking about the book of Nehemiah. So the Bible more than you would be sitting and reading or talking about my words or anybody else's words. So I think people can help support your Bible study. So a devotional or even like a Bible study leader can help support your time with the Lord. But I think the key would be that you're spending the most time studying, learning how to observe and interpret and apply God's word to your life. And doing that in communities, I think a great way to say like, well, I didn't even see that he said that, or I didn't understand this word. What did you look up and see and read through, you know, and get from this? So I would say spending time in God's word is going to be the key to it. And then with that, if your goal is, hey, I want to grow in this certain area, and I'm going to pull some girls in who I know want to grow in that same way, or maybe we all want to learn this idea of praying more together. Okay, well, we can spend time reading God's word, but we also spend a really good amount of time praying and challenging each other to pray or to evangelize, to go figure the gospel.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of different things that you can have a focus of in a Bible study. But again, I would say the Bible needs to be the key to, or the foundation for that study.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. That's what I love about your study too, is as I was looking through it, I was like, you have your own individual times and then you can come together with like a group and then share thoughts and like see what, you know, what everybody else got out of it too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's so fun to spend time with the Lord and then to come back and be like, okay, we all read the same thing.
Yeah.
What did you hear from the Holy Spirit? How did you observe and interpret? There's a really kind of fancy phrase for this that I learned in school, and I'll probably mess it up trying to say it to you now, because again, it's too fancy for my own brain, but There is one interpretation of scripture, many applications of scripture. Mm-hmm. So there's one true understanding. We don't get to just kind of read the Bible and say like, well, I don't know. It means this to me today and means that to you tomorrow.
Yeah.
No, John 3:16 always means that God sent his only son to be the payment for our sins, and that anybody who believes in him will not spend eternity in hell, but will spend eternity with God, right? Like that's the interpretation of that verse.
Yeah.
But for me, I know Jesus is my savior. So maybe today for me, the way I need to apply that is to be reminded of the love of God that he showed me 2000 years ago, that my sins were paid for on the cross. And maybe for another girl in the circle, she might need to be reminded that she has hope in eternity, that the rest of her journey doesn't look as dark or as sad as maybe what she's experiencing right now because of some situation in her life. So there's one interpretation of scripture. There's one truth, but there's many ways it can apply to our lives. And so I think that's a really fun part of sitting in a circle with other girls, is you get the chance to hear how other people are applying scripture to their life.
Yes, for sure. And do you have any tips for student-led studies that aren't all doing it with a certain leader? Obviously, a book definitely helps, and a study that somebody's written helps.
Yeah. Well, I think that can definitely be a way to do it. Sometimes books are not as helpful because it can start to feel like homework.
Yeah.
So I've wrestled with that before, even in a similar study to what I wrote, of being like, oh, it just feels like homework. I don't want to do this. So I think one of the other fun ways that I have learned to study scripture and led a group of peers is to pick a book of the Bible. And I always say pick a short one. You know, you don't probably want to start with like Revelation or Deuteronomy, but pick a short one. So even like the book of Philippians is a great spot to go. And one of my favorite techniques to use as a leader of a study is to say, okay, we're going to read one chapter of Philippians every day over this next week, and then we're going to come together and talk about it. But I even love to say, we're going to read the same chapter of Philippians every day over this next week, and then we're going to come together and talk about it, which feels weird to read a book or a chapter like multiple times throughout the week. But it's so cool, the things that you'll begin to see and understand, to give some similar questions. Hey, we're all going to look at, you know, what's the key idea that the author is talking about here? And what's one takeaway you're going to have this week? You know, to give some specific questions that girls or, you know, friends can be looking at as you're studying throughout the week. I think that's a really great way to let it be a little more organic, that it's not, we have to go through this book, but you're letting the Holy Spirit speak to your heart as you're reading. And I'll tell you three of my favorite questions. You'll see them in the book every personal study day. Is what does this passage say about God or Jesus, depending on if you're in the Old Testament or the New Testament? But what does this passage say about God? What does this passage say about man or people? Not immediately me, but just mankind. And then what does this passage say about the relationship between God and people? What does it tell me about that relationship? And then lastly, I'll say, what do I need to do because of what I've read? So I guess those are really four questions. But I'll use those four questions as kind of the standard of how I read through scripture. And then when I come together with a group to go through and say, okay, what do we see that this passage said about God? What do we see that this passage said about man or people? And then what does this passage say about the relationship between God and people? And that's a really great kind of guide to use for a small group setting.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, I've used questions similar to that whenever I'm just like doing it on my own, just like trying to start somewhere. And those are always super helpful to like open your eyes to more of looking at what actually the scripture says instead of just reading a book and then calling it done, you know?
And like you said, with journaling helps.
Yes. It's such a great way to process what you're reading. So I was going to say, it's so easy to read the Bible like you read your history homework. Yes. You know, you're like, okay, I did it. I don't really remember what I read, but I read it.
Yeah.
So to ask yourself questions or to journal, I think that's such a great way to make it really stick.
Yeah, I agree. Nice.
Yeah. Do you have any like challenges for this upcoming school year for high schoolers or people in college or middle school? Anything? Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's funny. I was just talking to a group of senior girls this morning at church. We were talking about what it looks like to be committed to God's word, to spending time with him. And several of them were saying, you know, we were saying like, what's one of the reasons why maybe that's hard for you, or you haven't been consistent in spending time in God's word or growing in your relationship with God. And so several of them, you know, very graciously, I guess, openly said, you know, laziness. And mm-hmm. I was like, honestly, count mm-hmm. me in. It's so easy to be like, let me rot on my phone as I, you know, scroll through social media instead of opening my Bible. And a couple mm-hmm. others said distractions, you know, your phone or your little brother, or somebody always walks in when you're trying to sit down and spend time with God. And so one of the fun things I've learned, and I challenged this group of girls this morning, was if you want to spend time in God's word, you got to pick three things before you ever do it. So you got to pick your time, your place, and your passage. So if you're like, hey, this school year, or even I think bite-sized pieces, even the next week of my school year, I want to spend time reading God's word. Okay. How do I do that? All right. I'm going to pick a time. So it's going to be a consistent time every day over this next week. Mm-hmm. It's going to be as soon as I wake up, or right before I go to bed, or right when I get home from school. Or one girl was like, while I'm on the bus, on the way to school. And I said, good for you. I would be so distracted, but if you can be focused, but pick your time, pick your place. So for mm-hmm. her, the time and place are probably the same. It's a bus ride. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But for me, it was usually in my room, but not on my bed, because I was going to fall asleep if I laid on my bed. So I would sit on my floor. Maybe for you, it's like in the bathroom, because it's the only place somebody's not going to come interrupt you.
Yeah.
But pick your time, pick your place, and then pick your passage. So, okay, where in God's word are you going to open up and start reading through? And so mm-hmm. a flipping and pointing can be pretty distracting when you're trying to really understand God's word. Mm-hmm. So I always encourage students, if you don't have something that you're reading through right now, the book of John is a great place to start. Mm-hmm. You get to learn about who Jesus is, his life and ministry. So if you don't have a passage, John could be a great one. So pick your time, pick your place and your passage. Okay, maybe I'm going to read one chapter of John every morning, or I'm going to read five verses. If you're like, a chapter feels intimidating. Okay. Mm-hmm. Five verses a day. So I'm going to read five verses of John. And tomorrow I know I'm going to read John 1, 5 through 10. And then the next day, like 11 through 15 or whatever.
Yeah.
It takes away some of the big decisions you have to make when you're tired, or when you're overwhelmed, or when you're busy. So pick your time, your place, and your passage. That's a great way to start.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah.
We're hoping for a really good school year. So we just wanted to hear anything that you would encourage all of us with for the upcoming school year. Mm-hmm. And that's so good. I think consistency is such an important thing, because we talked about that, I think, at camp when we went.
About how like the size of the passage or however much you do, like none of that really matters as long as you stay consistent.
Yeah.
That's so huge. I think if you have any athletes that are listening, that's so true in athletics. Like, you know, when you're training for something, that not every day are you lifting the heaviest weights you can lift. Not every day are you running the farthest you can run. There, some days you got to lift a little lighter, and some days you got to lift a little heavier, but that's how your muscles grow. That's how you get strengthened in that process. And the same is true with God's word and learning to like it, learning to want to read it, learning to understand it. There's some days when you just want to read a ton because it's so interesting and you're like, wow, let me keep going. I want to know what happens next.
Yeah.
And some days you're like, I'm so tired. It's so hard for me to focus. Okay. I'm going to pick one verse. And I'm going to really look at, I'm going to Google what every word in this verse means. Mm-hmm. And let me understand maybe a little deeper what this verse is saying or talking about. So some days you need a lot of scripture. Some days, I think you always need a lot of scripture, but sometimes you want to read a lot. Some days you want to read less. That's okay. Just be consistent in it. Mm-hmm. Even if it's a little bit, keep going.
Yeah. That's so good. We have loved getting to talk to you again.
It's such a joy, guys. I truly am so thankful for how you guys are exemplifying what it means to walk with Jesus and want to know him well. And I want to tell you that I was talking to a girl the other day. She's a senior in high school. She's a senior this year. Uh-huh. And she listens to y'all's podcast. And she was like, oh my gosh, I love them so much. I love to listen to them. So I just want you to know you are helping to shape this next generation. I'm really thankful for it.
That's so sweet. Yeah. I hope we can meet her. Maybe we'll cut the camp next year. We would love to see her.
please come. I will introduce you to her. She would love it.
That would be so much fun. Well, thank you for being on the podcast again today.
Oh, it's such a joy. So much fun, guys. I'm super thankful for y'all.
We're going to have to do another one once we're like going through the study and then do a catch up and tell, because she's doing it with her friend and then I'm doing it with a couple of my friends. So I feel like we're going to get some different things out of it.
Yeah. Oh man. And I would love to just hear your feedback on what was helpful, what was not helpful. Like, I would love to hear all that.
No, we're so excited. It's going to be so good.
I'm assuming it's going to be an amazing study because I've loved every conversation I've had with you.
Yes.
Well, thank you guys. That's so kind. I pray that God will speak to you through his word and that you will learn more and more what it means to fear God. You would set your mind's attention, heart's affection on him so you don't get overwhelmed by the other fears that happen in this world.
Yes.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much.
Thank you guys too so much. It's so great to hang out with y'all. Can't wait to hang out again soon.
Yes, we will. Thank you guys for watching and we'll see you back next week for another great episode.